From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Reading to preschool kids is important, no surprise there. But a study in the journal Child Development found that how we read is important, too. And the teachers who make a small change in the way they read to their preschoolers could have big consequences down the road. NPR's Elise Spiegel reports.
It's time to get your circle for rug time. It's time to get your circle for rug time.
It's Monday morning. It's 9 o'clock. And in certain parts of the world inhabited primarily by three-year-old preschoolers, that means just one thing.
It's time to get your circle for rug time.
So the three-year-olds in this Washington, D.C. preschool gather into a circle. By 9:10, all legs are crisscross applesauce. All hands officially to themselves, and it is time to read. The teacher in the class, Mary Lynn Goldstein, holds up a book and announces the title.
Don't let the pigeon drive the
bus.
Then Mary Lynn splays the pages and begins to read.
There's the bus driver, and what does pigeon say? I thought he'd never leave.
All across the country, there are preschool teachers doing this exact same thing in almost the exact same way. They hold up a book in front of a group of preschool kids who cannot read themselves, and they read the story through. Now, preschool teachers do this, and they have been doing it for decades, at least in part because of a belief that this simple act of reading to children will ultimately help the children to become good readers themselves.
The thought was, you read to children, that will make a big difference in how well they read later on when they're in school. That's still probably the biggest message out there, read to young children.
This is Anita McGinty, an education researcher at the University of Virginia's Curry School of Education. And she says that about 15 years ago, researchers like her started to look more closely at reading. They wanted to understand which behaviors exactly helped a child to learn. And in the process, they discovered something really surprising about the simple act of sitting down and reading through a story with a child.
It mattered a lot less than we maybe thought it did.
It's not that reading wasn't helpful. It helped build vocabulary, for example. But it didn't necessarily improve a child's ability to read per se. The question was why. So researchers did more studies, specifically eye-tracking studies. Here's Shane Piasta, a researcher from Ohio State University.
What they would do is they'd put a child on their parent's lap, and then they would use some special equipment that allows them to pinpoint exactly where the children are looking at any given moment in time.
Turns out, when you simply read a book to kids, they tend to ignore the print on the page.
Over 90% of the time, the children are focusing on the pictures on the page, or they're looking up at their parent or things of that nature.
So here, went the theory, was the answer. Reading is an incremental process. First, you become familiar with letters, then with words, with the process of reading from left to right, and then eventually you learn to read. But if a child's attention isn't drawn to the printed word, then reading to a child won't necessarily make them more familiar with what it means to read. Which raises this question. Anita McGinty.
Can you change what they're looking at or thinking about during book reading?
And so McGinty, along with Piasta and a researcher named Laura Justice, designed a study that made a very modest change in the way that teachers read to preschool kids, specifically very disadvantaged preschool kids, who can end up having reading issues. Essentially, they gave two groups of preschool teachers books for an entire year. They told one group to just read as they normally did, and the other?
We would give weekly cards that said, when you read the book we gave you, use this card.
On the card were instructions with questions that the teacher could ask, really just small phrases that might momentarily draw a child's attention to the print on the page. For example,
who can find the first word on this page?
Do you see these words?
Who can find the last word on this page?
Who can find another letter B?
Who can find the word giraffe?
The word bus.
The word snake.
Pigeon.
Lion.
That.
Hippopotamus.
Now, altogether, these small phrases hardly added any extra time, maybe like 90 seconds a book. The teachers were asked to read the books 4 times a week and point out the print just a handful of times.
Somewhere between 4 to 8 times.
It is hard to imagine that such a small adjustment would make any difference. It was a series of moments, questions, gestures. How much could that do? Well, so far these kids have been followed for 2 years. They are now in first grade. And 2 years later?
These children who focused their attention on print, they had better literacy outcomes than children who did not.
How much better? Well, one way to think about this is in terms of the achievement gap. There's an achievement gap in this country between rich kids and poor kids. Poor kids do worse. But according to McGinty, if the poor kids in this study are able to maintain their gains till fourth grade, and that is a pretty big if, but if they can.
If the effects last till fourth grade, it would be essentially taking the gap and narrowing it by a third.
So according to McGinty, the gains are real, and if they can be maintained, potentially significant. But how much should you trust that? Positive results from interventions like this often fade out over time. They are overwhelmed by the reality of bad schools and poor support at home. And this was, after all, such a modest adjustment. So this kind of raises a philosophical question for me. How much do small things count in determining a life?
Right.
Can small things make big differences?
I think that's the big question that we don't have a hold on.
The truth is, this study is part of a broader effort that's been developing over the last 15 to 20 years. Education researchers who are breaking down in these minute ways how teachers should interact on a moment-to-moment basis with children in order to promote their learning. It's one focus in the field right now, and there have been some encouraging findings, but it's still not clear whether interventions like this have any real staying power. Scott McConnell is a professor of educational psychology at the University of Minnesota who's been following this research.
The answer is that findings like this are at very high risk for fading out. But let's talk about why they might fade out. There's no reason to believe that an intervention like this provided to 4-year-olds is all these kids will ever need. They're going to need sustained intervention that takes advantage of the growth that they've achieved here.
Without other programs, gains are easy to lose. McConnell also says that it's hard to implement preschool programs like this broadly because at the preschool level, there's a very wide variety in teachers' skills. Still, he thinks that programs like this are important. He says it's very simple.
As a twig is bent, so grows the tree.
The earlier you start, the more impact you can potentially see.
I'm back. You didn't let the pigeon drive the bus, did you?
No.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
That was a cute story.
Elise Spiegel, NPR News, Washington.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.